Hi, this is Naroki 5. I am going to be doing this until I die or I find something better to do. So please help me achieve this personal and, I think, noble objective by contributing to my Patreon or Subscribestar. Link is down below. Every little bit helps. Thank you very much.
So, welcome everybody to the MGTOW Master Series. Cold interview tonight. We're talking with Jeff Gagnon. I don't know anything about Jeff Gagnon other than the fact that we spoke a couple of times on Facebook. But he asked me if I was willing to have him on. So, you know what, Jeff? I can't really say all that much about you. I will just take care of some shilling and then we'll get started. For those of you who don't know, I am at Patreon as Naroki 5. I'm at Subscribestar as The Red Pill Nation. I am at YouTube, Facebook, Minds, Gab, Twitter, Reddit, Tumblr, Brighteon, BitChute. Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere at this point. Got a new feature that we're going to be starting up soon. It's called Ask a MGTOW. What that is that if you have a question or you want to do an interview like what we're doing with Jeff tonight, please feel free to send me a request. If you have a question, like I said, there's going to be a donation jar available via PayPal for the questions. You know, the interviews is going to be up to me, but for the questions, if you want something, you know, if you want to put something in the jar, feel free to. But with that, Jeff, I really don't know all that much about you. So, tell me who you are. About as much information as you want to give and comfortable with, and what's your backstory, and we'll just kind of take this conversation wherever it goes. So, Jeff, the floor is all yours.
Sure. excuse me. My name is Jeff. I've been at MGTOW for, almost 10 years. Like 7-8 years. I went through a couple pretty bad marriages. I went through a bad marriage and a couple really bad relationships and just decided that what I was doing before wasn't helping me. Like, I was your typical liberal for a very long time.
Oh, I was as well. Trust me. I still am left of center, but yeah, go ahead.
And I decided that what was working for me wasn't, so I started listening to a lot of, like, Republican voices. And I started listening to a lot of, like, Karen Strawn and people like that. And then I was reading an article and somebody had mentioned MGTOW. And I was like, well, what is this all about? And started doing research and was like, this is legit. And I started doing YouTube videos. And I still do YouTube videos, but I kind of shy away from MGTOW content now. Because, I mean, you can only repeat yourself so many times. You know what I mean?
Before. Yes, I do know. I do know exactly what you mean. Some of the content does actually need to be repeated because of all the new people coming in. But, you know, to each his own. Continue.
Right. And so, I mean, I started doing more gaming stuff. I'm kind of a big-time gamer. And that's pretty much it, man. I mean, my marriage was awful. Awful. Like, it started out really good. She's like high school sweetheart, that whole thing. And then found out she was cheating on me with one of my friends, and I came to the decision that it's like, this was a woman I had known for like 25-26 years, and I never would have guessed she would have done that. And I said, if she can do it, why wouldn't somebody I met a month ago, you know, do the same thing? And that was my rationale. And now, I mean, I take it pretty far. Like, I work with a lot of females, and I don't talk to them. I give them one-word responses. It's not worth getting fired over. I don't know who these women are. I don't know if they're going to Me Too me or not. And, you know, I try to be a little bit more. Like, I do talk to women, from time to time, just not when I'm at work or when I'm, you know, in an official capacity. But like I'm one of the more tolerant MGTOW out there. Like I did an interview with a feminist on YouTube once.
Well, I can respect that because, to be honest with you, when it comes to me, I don't even bother explaining myself to feminists. It's sort of like if they ask, I'll give them an answer, and the answer that I give is the answer I give. I don't even really care about their approval at this point. Now, you married her right straight out of high school. Was this back in the 90s, or was this back in the teens, or was this in the 80s? When was this?
Well, it's actually a little bit more complex than that. We dated in high school, and then she moved to another city. So we kind of fell out of contact for a while, and then she came back to the city and sought me out. And we were married shortly after. I've had other girlfriends and been in other relationships, but when she came back, it was like we never technically broke up, that sort of thing. So
I know that
we left off, and she had come back numerous times before, and we'd always stayed in contact and gotten along, you know. So when she came back, it was just like, well, let's pick up where we left off. And like a month and a half later, we were like looking for places to get married at. And I don't recommend anybody do that. I don't recommend anybody get married, but I definitely don't recommend you just get married a month in.
Okay, so, yeah, but this was when? Was this the 90s or approximately
this was
what?
Like 2007, 2008.
Oh, okay. That 2007 was just after the first hints of MGTOW were going along. The PUA movement was really big back, was really gaining steam back at that point in time. Not a lot of information back then on how to spot potential trouble on the horizon with the woman you were going to marry. It was like, she's hot, you love her, she loves you, or at least ostensibly she loves you. Let's get married and have kids together. Were there any, in it again, hindsight being 2020, were there any like warning signs of any kind that you look back on and say, oh, wow, why didn't I put that together?
Yeah, I would say. She was going through a divorce when I met her, so that was probably one of the big ones. And they weren't technically divorced. They were kind of still, like, she had filed the paperwork, and they were, like, going through the process. And looking back on it now, that the fact that she could just jump into another warm bed, you know, that was a big red flag. I should have seen it.
Oh, and yeah. Continue. Sorry. I'll say what I'm going to say after you finish your story. Go ahead.
I should have seen it. And, you know, being the whole high school sweetheart and all of that, I guess it kind of clouded my judgment. And, you know, I wanted to be married at the time. Like, I just wanted to be married. And I think that was one of the things that made me overlook that, was the desire to be married, the idea of marriage, I guess.
Yeah, women are able to conveniently forget about even long-term social attachments. They break things off much, much easier than men do. I have definitely noticed that. Maybe I should get onto something else and ask this in the chat before I go on.
I know what you're gonna ask. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Is this the one you had your son with?
No, I had my son just before I met her. Actually.
Oh, so you weren't married to this other one, were you?
No.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I'm like going, yeah. So like you were both fresh off of breakups at that point when you got together with her?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
And I was about as blue-pilled as you could get.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and you were also in. This is just speculation on my part. I as a blanket term that I use, you don't hear me use it very often on the MGTOW Master Series, but it's one that I think fits appropriately because it covers pretty much every state. You were in a reduced state in terms of your mental thinking and your critical thinking at that point when you got together with her too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Those definitely were
Yeah.
part of the.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is, I mean, hindsight is 2020. So I'm going to take, I mean, I'm going to have to assume that the first couple of years went okay. And then things just, was it just the cheating or were there other warning signs that you just kind of conveniently overlooked?
There probably were like little things like when we got together, she used to tell me all the time, don't touch the laundry, don't touch the dishes, that's my job, you know. And then about a year into the marriage, we had this blowout fight because I didn't do dishes. And I was like, you told me not to do the dishes, not to do. And looking back on it now, it seemed like a railroading, you know, it seemed like that was the moment she wanted to end the marriage, and she was just looking for reasons.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, that's oddly enough, and although again, we're both the MGTOW, one of the warning signs that a woman, because this is something I think like I say, I don't get too much into relationship stuff, you know, mostly because I mean, like I've had a couple of relationships. There was one back in the late 90s that I was willing to settle down with. But you know, the whole thing about the relationships with her, one of the classic signs that you look for if she's cheating is that she suddenly gets controlling of her cell phone, or she wants to be the one that exclusively does the laundry because they don't want you stumbling into something uncomfortable, like that's not my pair of socks, or that's not my underwear, or that sort of thing. So about your first kid, about your son, like is the mother of that woman, mother of your son, is she giving you gears over like child support or anything like that, or are things relatively cool between you and her?
I don't talk to her. My mother actually has custody of my son. She left him at the hospital when he was like 11 years old. She just dropped him off at the hospital and left. So,
Wow.
yeah, that's what I said. Actually, when I didn't go pick him up from the hospital only because I was on my way there and I totally intended to stop at her house and throw her through her living room window. But my mother was like, I'll go pick him up. Stay here. You know, there's no need for you to go to jail, too. I understand you're upset, but. And she's like, I'm not telling you you're wrong in doing it, but just don't. And she picked him up. And I live in a basement, in my roommate's basement, not my mother's basement. So no stereotypes here. But where I live right now isn't conducive to him living here. So he stays with my mother and comes here all the time.
Wow, that's something similar to what happened to my brother. I've gone into that a few times. My brother married his childhood sweetheart right out of high school. They had two sons together. And out of the blue, one day after they divorced, she got custody of the kids, and she just decided she was going to put them up for adoption and didn't bother to tell my brother.
Oh my
The only
God.
reason Yeah, the only reason my brother found out is because her sister-in-law grew a conscience and told him. So he went over, he picked the kids up, took them back to where he was living at the time, and then she went and contested. She contested the custody, and even though she was the one that tried to put him up for adoption, the judge gave the kids back to her, and they had to be turned over I remember this quite well because I wasn't actually at the exchange, but I mean, I got to see the afterwards. We had to turn them over in the middle of a, had to turn, he had to turn the two kids over in the middle of a high, not a high school, but a family reunion. And I can remember I was at my aunt's house, and after he got back, it's the only time I've ever seen my brother just like apparently the turnover. One of my two nephews just absolutely like had a freak out scene during the turnout, and my brother was sitting in the backyard. He was just shattered, like shattered. And I remember looking at that and going like, holy shit, I am never, ever having kids. You know, and it's a decision that I'm glad I did, because like, I mean, yeah, I mean, Nihilist here can relate some experience too. To that, maybe I should let Nihilist have hit you with a few questions, but yeah, and I could tell you for a fact that both of them did eventually, like my two nephews did both eventually get married, but one of the two nephews just absolutely will not have kids. Like he said, he's gone out on the record. It's like, I'm never having kids, and I really can't blame him. And my other nephew, he is also married. He's got a few issues, and he's got a couple of daughters that are growing up now. But, you know, neither of them has really what we call like recovered from the event. They've handled it in different ways, but I mean, you know, and I mean it's had a massive ripple effect. So yeah, I mean, it's never happened to me, but I've seen what it's done to other people. So I absolutely can empathize with what's going on. But you know what? There's a third person on this call, and maybe Nihilist might want to ask you some questions. So Nihilist, I'm going to yield some time to you. Nihilist, have a chat.
Okay. Well, Guy, let me tell you something. Let me introduce myself. I'm Nihilist. That's what the pathetic pseudonym that I go on this. I guess it should be existentialist, but it's too late now. And that's a mouthful. So welcome in to the MGTOW Master Series. Now, here's the thing. I'm hearing you. Here, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. I don't want you to feel like you're being examined, but goddamn it, I'm curious. So you know, let's just be straight up here. We don't know each other. The truth is, hell, maybe 100 people will listen to this, probably, maybe, and that'll be it. So there's, you know, just between me and you and the hardwood here, would it be fair to say that just in general in life, you've kind of had a shitty hand when it comes to women and all sorts of different types of relationships, not just romantic, but otherwise?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I have not had good experiences with women overall. I've had a couple like girlfriends and stuff that I still to this day get along with. But most of my experiences with women have been really, really toxic. Yeah, I would say that's true.
All right. Now, so would you say you're a ladies' man?
I would say I was. Probably not so much now.
Well, yo, I understand. You get interested in it, and then you don't. You change. You get older. Hell, I get it. But let me ask you a question here. Like, let's say, what's your, in a general ballpark, would 10 to 25 bodies, you know, kind of get your sexual history right around in that area?
Oh, geez, let me think. Yeah, I'd say that's close.
20 okay. To 25. Okay, all right.
And of those 25, I would say 21 were really toxic.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, as I was saying to Naroki the other day, if you like woke up and grew a dick on most women, they would instantly be incels. They couldn't get a fucking piece of ass. Oh my God. Oh no!
Sure. I'm sensing a trend here with a lot of, especially with a lot of the MGTOW guys that have done that are doing YouTube content. I mean, like, yeah, my notch count may not be, you know, Nihilist has seen some of the women I get. I gotten some pretty decent ones. My notch count isn't as high as you two guys, but I mean, the ones I have got have been like. They've had some issues, but they haven't been toxic. But I mean, everybody's got their own story. Continue, Nihilist.
In other words, you know, they look at least halfway decent, but they're kind of fucking nutty. In other words, we'll just go ahead and I'll decode that for you. I think Naroki likes a crazy pussy about as much as I do, and I love it.
Oh, crazy pussy's great.
Oh, it's the fucking best. Oh, God, it's the best. But at any rate, okay. So, well, here's the thing. Look, the average man has seven partners his entire life. So that's a hell of a respectable number, and stuff. I'm not trying to like I said, examine you here, but I just like to kind of get some general stats on people, ask a few questions, kind of see what I'm dealing with. In other words, you know what I mean? Right. On something like this. Okay. So, how would you define your temperament?
I have a very long fuse connected to a very large bomb.
Ah, okay.
I'd say that's pretty an accurate depiction of. It takes a lot to make me really mad, but once I'm mad, I'm there.
You know. I'm sensing a trend here. Same thing with me, but continue.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you hold grudges?
No, I try not to. Sometimes, I guess it depends on the situation.
Okay.
My ex-wife, for instance, I will never, ever, ever forgive anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
My son's mother, I'll never, ever forgive her, ever. So, but I mean, for the most part, it's like, you know, I'm pretty receptive to burying the hatchet. Most of the time.
Do you learn your lesson quick?
Yes. Very quick. Yeah. I didn't used to. I would say that this red pilling and going MGTOW definitely made that very prevalent. Like, I learned my lesson instantly.
Yeah, so in other words, once you get to a point that you get some, whatever it is, once you learn something in some philosophical or wisdom based type of shit, once you get it, the change is you probably internalize the change, and then maybe the gates come down or some kind of shit like that instantly. It's like some Game of Thrones stuff, but you know, you adapt to it and then you accept your lessons quickly.
Oh, for sure. For okay. Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna go ahead and tag back over to the immortal Naroki 5 and see if he can pull a pinfall here. I might jump. I will jump in later. But I want to hear some more about this guy. This is interesting. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, one of the first things that comes up is sort of like, I mean, for me. For instance, my moment when I realized that I wasn't the only one out there was when I read Helen Smith's book, Men on Strike. Now, when you discovered the Manosphere, because, like, I mean, Karen Strawn is actually in my hometown. I actually run into her every day. In fact, I talked to her sister. Her sister's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, no doubt. She would be real cool to have a couple drinks with, I bet.
Oh, she is. She also can put them away quite easily too, I might add. But it's what was kind of like your moment where you realized that you had bought in, that you had been buying into a set of beliefs that were just like flawed and fucked and screwed up, and that you needed to make the change. Like, everybody sort of has that kind of, maybe it's not a flash, but it's sort of like, oh wow, you know, that eureka moment, the moment when the light came on.
It was shortly after my divorce. I started, I started dating like other newer women, and I started to notice that there was a pattern. Like, they would all kind of do the same things. And I mean, after two or three failed relationships after that, it was like, you know, why? I wanted to know why so many, these women from so many different walks of life were behaving in almost the exact same way. And
I kind of know what the answer is going to be on this, but yeah, I wouldn't be curious to know what those tendencies are before I actually ask the question. So what were these things that you were noticing?
Well, they would do things that I knew were wrong, and I would call them out on it, and somehow they were able to turn it around to I was in the wrong for calling them out on it. And every single one of them could do it. And it was just, I was like, this is incredible. I don't know how they're able to manipulate people in this way. And, you know, I don't know why it's so easy for them to do. And then I started going on this website called Return of Kings. And it's a largely a PUA website. I think Roosh.
Yes, I know what I know. I've seen I got some reservations about Rushvi and some of the people on there, but he does, like, there's some articles on there that are dead on. Continue. Yeah,
I started reading some of the articles there, and I was like, what is this red pill thing? And what is this MGTOW thing? And what is, you know, and then I started watching the videos, and it just took off from there.
Did you have any faith? So yeah, you've been meg to, you came in that sec. You were like me. You came in that second wave of MGTOW. You know, the one. Well, I think Sandman was the guy who pretty much sums up that 2013 wave of guys that joined MGTOW back when MGTOW only had. Well, did you ever join the MGTOW subreddit, or have you just stayed off of that?
I'm on it now. I stayed off it for a while because I wasn't a fan of Reddit. I thought it was like a wretched hive of scum and villainy, you know? And not so much now. I'm on it a lot. I'm on both of the MGTOW subreddits, actually. The quarantined one and the other one.
I'm not such a big fan of the second one. You know... Yeah, when I joined that subreddit, there was only like 3,500 people on. I mean, I can remember. I think I even watched Sandman's first video back when he did. The guy who really there were two that really stuck with me back then. Barbarossa and Spetsnaz were the two that stuck with me. Did you have like a personal favorites back then? You must have.
Yeah, I liked Spetsnaz a lot. I was never a huge fan of Sandman. Like, I thought he was kind of entry level, you know, like he's kind of like the beginner's guide to MGTOW, I thought. And I found his content to be too red pill ragey. You know what I mean? Whereas Spetsnaz is pretty mellow. Like, I've never been big on red pill rage. I've always thought it was like a temporary thing that people need to get over as quickly as possible so that they can go on with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We Nihilist and I have done a full series on the red pill rage and how to process this and how to get through it. It was, for me, it was a very, like, when I had to go through it, because I actually went through my red pill rage before I even discovered MGTOW. You know, it was... Yeah, it was jolting. I mean, I did something called Sterling Men's Weekend, and I had to unload a whole truckload of emotions in that weekend to get past it. So yeah, I take it your red pill rage was some, because some people can stay in it for years, and some people move through really quickly. I'm going to have to assume you. You strike me as a person who's capable of being introspective and being able to figure things out. So I'm having to assume you moved through it fairly quickly once you knew what was going on.
Very. Yeah, I was pretty deep in it for about 5 or 6 months. And then I was just like, this isn't helping me. You know, that's the whole point of this whole journey for me, was to help me, you know, and it was like, this isn't helping me. I'm not really going my own way if I'm a prisoner of my own rage, you know, that sort of thing. And I did a video about destroying the arguments to MGTOW, where I went into that a lot. Like, red pill rage doesn't help. It's, you know, it's going to weigh you down in the long run. That video got close to 1,000 views, actually. Pretty proud of that one. And then I did one, Marriage, the Modern Day Sword of Damocles, where I talk about how, you know, I've always kind of been of the opinion that, like, I don't think it's cool to just hate women for just arbitrarily hating somebody because of what they have in their pants. Because it's like, well, that's what the feminists do, and we're not feminists.
No, we're definitely, you know, not feminists.
So I've always been of the belief that you should judge a person individually, but, you know, you should also be wary of the tendencies of hypergamous women, I guess, is the...
Nihilist and I just did finish doing a video here. Was it 2 days ago? Not even that, on a woman who basically hypergamized herself right out of a decent marriage and kids. That was like 2 days ago, wasn't it, Nihilist?
Yeah.
It was an article that was written back in 2013 too.
That happens a lot. Women price themselves right out of the market a lot.
Oh yeah. I can't remember whether I mentioned this when we did that particular video about that hypergamous woman back a couple of days ago. I mean, I'm looking at some of the women that I knew even back in the 2000s that were like literally smoking ass hot. And it's like, I mean, I'm actually kind of shocked and amazed at how some, like, the wall in one particular case, like, the wall came along and hit her so hard that if the wall was a person, like, I mean, the wall should have been taken into police custody for assault causing bodily harm. Like, I mean, this woman went from being a decent 9 to, like, being, like, a 3 or 4 in, like, 2 or 3 years. Mind you, she was married and had kids, and I suspect there may have been some other issues around that, but I'm like, yeah, like, I'm shocked sometimes at how quickly it can happen to women.
What's even funnier about that is they'll go on, like, Facebook and Twitter and complain and whine about why they can't find good men, and it's like, you have no self-awareness whatsoever.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about this. It's sort of like, and again, we covered this just recently in another video. I mean, if you're, and this is something that I try to emphasize even to some of the blue, because it actually, we will get into some of the anti-MGTOWs and some of the critics. I'm having to assume you probably have to deal with your fair share of them.
Like,
if the only thing you're getting out of a relationship with a woman is the fact that you have a decent piece of eye candy around your arm, and her favorite lotus position, her sexual lotus position, is like the dead starfish. I mean, yeah. You might want to consider moving on. It's sort of like the real standard here is about how, you know, I think and men just need to be raising their standards, period. But here's the other one, and we'll actually be doing this. I think we'll probably be doing this for the Red Pill Nation Hangout. Twitch has started actually going out and protecting simps. As in, if you use the word simp now, or if you have a simp emoji, like, it's being removed from Twitch. Right? Because it's sort of like, you know, there's actual money in not only keeping guys and guys being simp, but actually there's now, it turns out there's money there for them to have it. Yeah. And they're willing to go to great lengths now to protect that. Cause I can't imagine that Twitter and YouTube and Facebook won't be very far behind. I mean, you know, yeah.
A fool and his money are easily parted.
Yeah. You know,
hey, let me get in here in the cleavage of this conversation real quick so I can ask two questions before I depart. I got two questions for you, bud, and I want to know the answers. If you wouldn't care, of course. Sure. When did you lose your virginity? What age were you?
I was 14.
Okay. What is your level of education?
I dropped out of high school, but I learn on my own, kind of self-educated.
Okay. All right. And finally, be as specific or as vague as you like, you know, because I understand on this one, you might, you know, there are some stuff to navigate here. But what industry do you, or who do you work for? What do you do? Whatever, however you want to put it, your employment.
I work in a metal shop. I'm a fabricator.
Okay, so you're a tradesman.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and take my bow here on this one. I think that this will be an interesting interview because I think I filled in some holes that at least I was curious about. So that everybody gets an understanding of what's going on here and the information going back and forth. I have sat here now for almost 40 minutes and it wasn't, thank you very much and have a great evening, gentlemen, and enjoy the interview.
Yeah, you too, man. Have a good night.
Thanks, Nihilist. Yeah, here's a question for you since we've gone into first. What is the first time you encountered misandry? That somebody you encountered a woman that was actually misandric. Like it's you for me, it was a teacher in my last year of high school and a couple of women that I met in another association of mine, round about the same time. So when did you first encounter it? And when did you maybe start getting the feeling that there wasn't something quite, I mean, other than the fact that there was the divorce, you know, and that, when did you kind of start getting the notion that something maybe wasn't quite right?
I didn't know what misandry was for a very long time. Cause like I said, I was blue pilled for most of my life, you know, and I had no idea what misandry was until it was brought up in, I think, an article that I read. And I was like, what is this? And I looked it up, and it dawned on me then that I had seen this before. Several women that I had met before were pretty hardcore feminists, and they would say things all the time that were like, if I had said them, they would have outcasted me from misogyny. You know, the first time I ever encountered misandry, I would probably say it was a teacher in high school that somebody did a project against feminism, talking about the problems. Because, I mean, I've never really agreed with feminism, even when I was blue-pilled. I always thought it was kind of a ridiculous movement that didn't really need to exist. But she would say things during this interview, like this kid was presenting this project and he was speaking out against some of the things that feminism does. And she was just grilling this kid, you know, at the end of his presentation. I got some questions. And she was just grilling this kid, like shutting him down. And basically attempting to paint him as like somebody who hates women. And I can remember sitting in the class like this. That's not what he said. He didn't say he hated women. He said that he had problems with these, you know, ideas that feminism put out. There's a total, you know, not all women are feminists. And back then I had no idea what was going on, but looking back on it now, I would definitely call that misandry.
Mm. Yeah, same thing. There was one teacher that I had my last year of high school, and I didn't put two and two together until I actually came up with the term of misandry. And I started looking back at where did you first encounter it? It's like, oh, yeah, no, there were like two or three. They all arrived at the same time. There was an association that I was involved in, a 12-step program. There was a group of women in the 12-step program that were, well, let's just say they were damaged. And it was men in their lives, their father. Like one of them had been really, like a couple of them had been raped by their dads, you know. And they all kind of hung out together at these 12-step meetings. And, you know, even though I had never met anything, any of them hadn't done anything to them, every time I tried to interact with them, like, I always got the impression that they were always talking down to me or treating me like the enemy. And sort of like, well, you know, I didn't actually do anything to you, you know, so what's your problem? Now, with one exception, none of those women were able to stay clean, and none of them got over it, with the one exception. And the only reason she got over is that she had to basically separate herself from that group. You know, that collective victim mentality that I've seen a lot of feminists take on. And the teacher, she wasn't married. And I remember specifically because all the other teachers that were married in the school either went by Miss, because this is back in the 80s, right? Either back then it was still Miss and Mrs. There were very few Ms, but she was a Ms, right? And it was very clear that she wasn't married, and she wouldn't have exercises in her class that would pit the males against the females, and she would clearly try to make the males feel bad just for being guys. And I didn't put two and two together because, again, right? And this is a fairly common, it's like, I mean, I just had to recently block somebody on YouTube over this, right? That I should somehow feel guilty because, say, women couldn't vote 100 years ago, right? And I'm like, no. And it's sort of like, you know, all of the hobbies that guys do are somehow icky and nerdy and shouldn't be done, like gaming or playing Dungeons and Dragons, or like liking to hang out in the arcade. Like somehow all of the things that guys like to do that didn't immediately, and I can see it right as rain, that didn't immediately or indirectly involve basically being there for women was frowned upon, and is considered nerdy and geeky. It was considered nerdy and geeky, and the women didn't want to get involved with it until I noticed back in the 2000s. And then all of a sudden, when there was money there, all of a sudden they started coming in. They started coming in like white on rice.
I was just going to mention that I remember back in the day, you were considered a loser if you played video games. And then when it became a multi-billion-dollar industry, you got Gamergate. You know, and you got all these like feminists and women trying to like push into the gaming industry. And a lot of them, it isn't even about gaming. They got their Twitch streams where they're like wearing next to nothing playing video games. And it's like, this isn't a gaming stream. This is a bunch of people checking you out stream while you play video games. Yeah, I see a lot of that.
Yeah, you see a lot, not so much on YouTube, but definitely on Twitch. You know, and like I said, we're going to actually be covering the whole, like, I mean, it's become such an industry now, like simping has become such an industry now that Twitch is going the extra mile to make sure that simps stay simps.
Oh yeah, simping's a multi-billion-dollar industry for sure.
You know, like, I mean, I go to conventions and whatever, and I work in the film and television industry. So, I mean, I've got all sorts of contacts. Some women that I've made associations, you know, there is one Twitch streamer that if she happens to be on when I'm on, I will go over and say, hi, how you doing? And then go back to doing whatever it is I'm doing before.
Yeah, I've watched, there's a couple that I watch. Like, I like Sweet Anita. She cracks me up. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No, I don't do too many of them. Like I say, if I know them personally, for instance, or if they appear to have something resembling a working brain, you know, which is unfortunate because we actually did an interview with Mercedes Carrera about 2 weeks before she got arrested, and that's up actually at the YouTube channel as well. Another one that I will talk to occasionally is Alex Lynx, porn star. She's got an OnlyFans account, but again, I don't go onto her OnlyFans site. I will only go on if she chooses to live stream on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, like I have noticed, for instance, that even though, like, some of these women, like, there's another one. She used to be a porn star, Veronica Vane. Now she goes by the name of Redhead Redemption now. They seem to be aware of the issues of the manosphere. But, I mean, yeah, I've noticed that when it comes to the issue of simping, you know, like, they're not very quick about, which I guess kind of makes sense because that's where their money is coming from. They're not so quick to, like, insult and call a lot of the guys that subscribe to their channels as simps, right? And that kind of gets me into the next topic here, because this is something else that I've been noticing a lot of, and I was going to bring this up earlier. Have you been noticing that there has been an uptick? And this is probably not the biggest surprise, because I mean, from the time that you and I joined, I'm figuring that there were probably only, if there were 10, like when you and I came in, which I'm going to have to assume was around 2013, that there were probably only maybe 10,000 MGTOW worldwide, if that. And now that number, Ray, could be as little as 3, but I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands now. So as something gets bigger, you're going to become a bigger target, and you're going to start attracting a lot of people. But I mean, have you noticed that there's been a lot more in terms of targeted harassment in the last few months?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. There's been a lot more, like they tend to key on a lot of content that is MGTOW related. The YouTube algorithm does. The quote unquote algorithm tends to key in on a lot of people that speak MGTOW content, that like put out MGTOW content. I've noticed that. That's why I do a lot of gaming stuff now, but occasionally like somebody in my chat or somebody in my group chat in the game will, you know, well, you're a MGTOW, blah, 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 blah. And so like it's known that I am, but I try not to draw a whole lot of attention to it because I know that the YouTube algorithm will strike if I start putting out more MGTOW content. I do occasionally. Like the last one I did was the Modern Day Sword of Damocles. I called marriage the Modern Day Sword of Damocles, because I don't think anybody's ever coined that term before.
That I sort of know what the Sword of Damocles is, but you know,
the Sword of Damocles is, it's an old story about a king that had a servant that I think the servant was Damocles. And he was telling the king, like, it's amazing, you get to be king, I'm so jealous. And he's like, you want to see what it's like? You can sit in the seat. But he arranged that a sword be dangled over his head, tied to the rafters by one horse's hair. And the guy sat on the throne for about 20 minutes and then begged to be let out because of the Sword of Damocles over his head. Sword of Damocles is like the looming potential for doom that hovers over your head all the time.
Oh yeah, I if you run into this guy Red Pill Men's Health, and that's something that I pointed out too. This is something that the trad cons tend to really overlook. I mean I'm sure you've heard that argument, you just haven't found the right girl yet, right? And it's something that the trad cons will come up with, and it's sort of like, Or if you're not in shape, if you get in shape and you put more emphasis into your money, you'll get a woman. It's sort of like you don't seem to quite understand, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get the right woman or not. Any woman with one phone call, like in your case, the sword of Damocles, you know, can just, you know, absolutely turn your life upside down. I mean, I haven't had, like I say, the women that I have been involved with. I mean, although the one from 2016 was kind of like the icing on the cake for me. But I mean, what I tended to run into, and I think maybe you probably run into this too, because I've done a little bit of research into this, is the false accusations of harassment or stalking.
Yeah, you know, I was a victim of the false allegation when I was fighting for a visitation of my son. She painted me as this abusive guy that, you know, basically she was projecting all the things she was doing to me and telling the judge I was doing them to her. And we ended up like burying the hatchet, so to speak. And we started like becoming friendly again, because it's like, we got to get along for our son. And I'll never forget it. She went into court to get the protection order lifted and looked the judge right in the eye and said, I lied about all of this. The judge did nothing.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot. I mean,
that floored me. I was like, she just admitted to a crime in open court. You know, you're not going to do anything about this. And the judge just waved it right off.
Oh, yeah. I take it you live in the United States?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe, or actually, I guess if you listen to the Honey Badgers, maybe you do know about this guy, Jean Gomeshi.
I've heard the name. Yeah.
Okay. Jean Gomeshi, he was a male feminist, by the way. Completely an anti-Gamergate when it came out. What ended up happening to him is basically there was a, because they used the rape shield law to try and do this as well. They accused him of he basically was accused of violently raping these three women. And they were allowed to basically go out in the press. And this was mostly in Canada. And here was the ironic part, because he was a male feminist, because he had been so swarmy and negative about masculinity and about Gamergate and everything else. Like, the guys in the manosphere were like looking back at him and going, yeah, you know what? Like, suffer, you asshole.
Yeah, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, like you brought this on yourself, suffer. And fortunately, he got himself a really good lawyer and a woman by the name of Lucy DiGaturi. I'm going to have to assume that the other two, by the way, even though he was found not guilty, the rape shield law still doesn't allow us to name who these other two women were. Right. Lucy DiGaturi, in the words of one court reporter, veteran court reporter who had been court reporting for like 30 plus years, her exact words were, there may be a case where somebody who testified got destroyed worse than this woman did, but Luce, in all of the 30 plus years that I've been doing court reporting, this is the only woman, this is the worst case I've ever seen. Like, Lucy DiGaturi went out, testified, and the lawyer literally just tore her story to shreds. So effectively, Lucy DiGaturi committed perjury. Now, surprise, surprise, because she committed perjury, because the story just didn't hold up, Jean Gomeshi was found not guilty. Now, what ended up happening here in Canada over it is, even though Jean Gomeshi was found not guilty, Justin Trudeau changed the laws now so that you have to disclose, like, the defense has to disclose evidence to the prosecution as part of the disclosure, a.k.a. Bill C-51. Right.
Yeah.
Even though it was Lucy DiGaturi who committed perjury, and Lucy DiGaturi has never been held to account over that. And I've seen that over and over and over and over. Well, I mean, look again, like, look at what's going on with Amber Heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You know, on her word, Disney just let him go. He almost had his acting career completely destroyed. The only reason he was able to get that Fierce Creatures thing on J.K. Rowling, that new series that J.K. Rowling is part of, is because J.K. Rowling actually had to openly advocate to get him in.
Yeah. Weird thing is J.K. Rowling's pretty feminist.
Yeah. That was the thing that did it. And it was like, I mean, on the other side, Johnny Depp has testimony, like bona fide hard copy testimony of lies, abuse. They've got Amber Heard literally saying to Johnny that nobody will believe you because you're a man.
Oh, yeah, like, he has something like 10 sworn depositions. He's got like 70 surveillance videos. He has a mountain of evidence.
Yeah, and WB still has not officially cut ties with Amber Heard.
No, they just wished her a happy birthday on Twitter not too long ago.
Yeah, and they still have not officially cut ties with her. And it's sort of like, and their official response is, we're just waiting for the trial. And it's sort of like, you know, like if they're thinking that guys aren't seeing that, you know, and that, I mean, it's stuff like that. Same thing with Kavanaugh, for instance, right? Like four of the five accusers on Kavanaugh had stories that were so flimsy. It would be like trying to stop bullet with cray paper. And the one that was sort of credible, there just wasn't enough evidence there to do anything, right? Like there was actually even less evidence, as far as I can tell, with Kavanaugh than there was against Clarence Thomas back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, Clarence Thomas was railroaded too.
Yeah.
I find that whole situation funny because a lot of the feminists that I've spoken to about the Kavanaugh case and the Clarence Thomas case have said, you know, what did Christine Blasey Ford have to gain? What did Anita Hill have to gain? And I just Google their name and type in net worth, and you find out that Anita Hill's worth like $17 million right now, and Christine Blasey Ford just raised $1 million on her GoFundMe. And I'm like, well, they're millionaires now, so there's that. You know? That's something they had to gain.
Yep, and it's like, you know, and they're thinking, because, I mean, it's not a coincidence that MGTOW, like, and this is what I was saying back at the time, right? It's sort of like, you know, if anybody had any doubt about anything what MGTOW was saying about relationships, just look at what's happened with Kavanaugh, right? Yeah, Kavanaugh wasn't even, I mean, there's nothing in Kavanaugh's past. Hell, I mean, he was even lawyer for the Clintons, for crying out loud.
Yeah. What really cracks me up is these same people that were chanting believe all women when the Kavanaugh thing broke are the same ones that are going to go vote for Joe Biden in November. And Joe Biden just got pretty credibly accused of, you know, getting a little too handsy with a woman.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to say the case there is a lot more solid than it ever was against Kavanaugh.
They're all going to rush to vote for him in November. It boggles my mind that they can have that. It's like such a double standard, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, so here's the issue. And I mean, I'm going to cause I mean, we've actually, again, you got a video sitting back and wait, and I'm going to be doing a smaller version of it. From your perspective, where do you think MGTOW is going, and do you really, like, is it going to, like, I mean, do you think it's going to be up to the individual MGTOW right now to look after his own ass at this point? Because I really don't see the cavalry coming over the hill anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to fend for ourselves for quite some time. I don't think we'll see MGTOW become sort of mainstream in our lifetimes. I think it'll still be this, like, it'll be in, like, the corners of Reddit and, you know, in videos like this. I don't think it'll be something on a grand scale that you'll see, Jabel, because there's too many simps. There's an overabundance of simps in this world. And a lot of men when they grow up, have majority female influences in their life. They have, you know, obviously they're with their mother all the time, and mother's a female. Most teachers in schools are female, you know, so it's overwhelming female influence in the lives of these young men. So, you know, it's just like a simp factory. They just keep pumping them out.
Oh, well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, can a society exist in the long run if it keeps producing simps at the level that it's currently producing them? I don't think it can.
No, I think I don't. Yeah, I think a lot of I mean, at what we're going through right now with the old quarantine and the Rona and everything, that's a pretty good demonstration of how soft we've become. You know, back in the 1700s, the founding fathers would have been trying to stack bodies by now. You know, I'm just talking from an American perspective, you know, but you're seeing a lot of our rights get taken away and people are just going along with it. Just comply, just comply. And I think that's pretty indicative of the fact that we're raising a bunch of wusses, basically, people that won't stand up for themselves. And I think that carries over a lot into what we're talking about as far as gender relations, too. Like, men will just bow their head and say, yes, dear. And we're pumping out guys like that by the millions. And guys like this are a rare breed.
We are. We're a rare breed now. What I'm noticing, though, is and by the way, it's not just MGTOW. It's the manosphere in general. We've reached... It's gonna happen this year. In fact, in Australia, it has already happened. There's that 1% doesn't sound like a big number, but I mean, the manosphere is going to pass the 1% of the fertile male population in North America probably later this year. So this is something that I started noticing happening last year, and I'm noticing it with a little bit more frequency now. Like, last year was the first time where I would start running into men that knew about the issues of the manosphere just by accident, like without having to actively go and meet with, like, I mean, we'd have get-togethers with people who would be like us, but you know, you wouldn't just run into them in your day-to-day associations. Like, I've noticed, especially in the last, say, 12 to 14 months now, that I'm starting to run into these men just like as I'm going through my day-to-day life. Like, I've run into a couple so far in the last 12 months. So yeah, even though our numbers might be small, I'm thinking that the ideas that are being produced by the manosphere, specifically the ones issuing around the issue that men's rights keep bringing up, those issues are starting, people are becoming equally aware. I'm also thinking also that it's probably because why simps are becoming less and less respected, because the whole conflict, the concepts that are percolating through the manosphere, and as the mind virus sweeps through at least the fertile male population, that being a simp is becoming less and less fashionable, which is why, for instance, we'll be talking about this during the Red Pill Nation hangout, right? Which is why simps are, like, places like Twitch and whatever are having to make efforts now to protect their group, because they've actually got money on the line from this group. So it's sort of like, we're going to be dealing potentially with actual corporate supported oppression of a class of men is potentially what we might be looking at down the road. Does that feel like something that might be coming down the road for guys in the manosphere?
I would say so. I mean, from a business standpoint, you kind of have to look at it as they have to protect their investment, and the simps are the ones giving out the money. So, you know, they're obviously going to do what they can to protect that investment. They don't want to lose that income flow. So it would make sense that places like Twitch and YouTube and Facebook will go out of their way to protect these people, because they're the ones that are spending the money.
Yeah. So, what is your, I really, we've been on for over an hour now. Is there anything specific that you wanted to discuss, or are you just like happy just keeping this conversation going? Cause like, I mean, yeah, we passed the hour mark now.
I'm happy keeping it going. Like I love doing these kind of conversations. I did an interview with a, I did an interview with a feminist not too long ago, and I was still pretty green. So I actually got the 80-20 rule backwards when I was talking. And there were a lot of feminists on that channel on the in the comments thread that were just like horrible, you know, and even other MGTOW, man, they were like, this guy's not a real MGTOW. You know what I mean? He's talking to a feminist. And it's like, you know, you have to talk to people you disagree with, or else your ideas, you know, you can't keep your ideas in an echo chamber. You have to go out and talk to the people you disagree with, because that's how you know your ideas are strong.
Oh, yeah.
If they can't stand up to scrutiny, then they're not strong ideas. And I've always been in that mindset. So when I was approached by this particular feminist to do the interview, I was like, absolutely, I'll do it. No problem. And I remember warning her in the beginning, like, just so you know, I have two protocols in an interview. I have the regular one, and then I have hit piece protocol. And I'm like, if I think this is turning into a hit piece, I will switch, and it won't be pretty. So let's go in this without any presuppositions. And she, you know, she obliged, and actually, I got to say, it was actually a pretty good interview, considering, you know, I thought she was just going to go in and try to tear me apart, but she was, well, she would let me finish. She would stay quiet and let me voice my opinions. And then she would, you know, she'd push back a little, but like, it was an exchange. So I was like, you know, hey, more power to you. Like, that's great that you're.
Yeah. I've been lucky so far. I haven't run into this, but I mean, this is something else that I've noticed with feminists though. And this is something that Karen Strawn specifically pointed out on Honey Badge Radio a couple of years ago. Even though some of the ideas and the concepts that feminism has been pushing are beginning to have had percolating in society, I'm noticing that individually, like, feminists don't won't openly come out now unless they've got the wall around them, aka a wall of simps or white knights or whatever, or it's a media publication that doesn't allow comments or something like that. Like, you will very rarely see a like, for instance, except with one exception so far in the last year, oddly enough, that was just 2 or 3 days ago. You very rarely see feminists trying to storm a MGTOW site. I have seen a lot of I've seen an uptick in the number of white knights doing it. And I've also seen one guy that really stands out, although I haven't actually looked at a lot of his content because, I mean, I think he's just, I don't know what his issue is. Have you ever listened to Bulldog Mindset at all?
I've heard of him. I think I might have listened to one or two of his videos.
Yeah, I have.
I know who
he is. Go ahead.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is too. I have never listened to any of his stuff. He seems to be really vocally anti-MGTOW. I don't know. I maybe have to go and do some research on him. But I mean, again, right? Like the people that are coming. And here's the ironic part is that, I mean, there's a guy, for instance, on Facebook who goes by the name of Steven Martino. He started a fake MGTOW account called Tam Lickus, and he tried to join a whole bunch of MGTOW sites with the exclusive intent of trolling and trying to get various MGTOW pages shut down and MGTOW groups shut down. And I mean, I had to go in and warn a lot of admins about what this guy was like. But I mean, I'm also noticing an uptick on that. And it's sort of like, you know, and here's the thing that I think this is where we'll probably end off tonight. because I mean, I'm beginning to hear this in a couple of different places. One, we're either going to have to withdraw from society and basically form, and this is what you're seeing already with something like MGTOW TV, where we're going to basically have to form circles of our own, or we're going to have to put either or come out into the open and effectively start fighting for our rights. Like, do you see something like one of those two items coming down the road? Like, I mean, we talked about corporate-based sponsorship of harassment, or basically of propping up simps, but this is similar but in a different vein. Do you think one of those two things might come down the line, say, like, in the short term or in the long term?
Probably in the long term. I think coming out in the open would be a good thing in the long term. Probably not short term. It would probably hurt us in the short term, but eventually, once people got past the typical feminists, like, well, you just hate women, or you just, you know, the typical dismissive tactics, once they got to like the meat and potatoes of what we're actually saying, I think a lot of people would agree with us that wouldn't believe that they would, that would otherwise never have heard of us. You know, so I do think that it would serve MGTOW in the long run to go out in the open and to just, like, I don't hide who I am at all. Like, everybody knows I'm a MGTOW. I got my wallpaper on my cell phone is the MGTOW logo. Like, I don't at all make any effort to hide it. Any woman I'm speaking to, like, if it's, because I still kind of date, any woman I'm speaking to in that capacity, I tell them right off the bat, like, this is something you need to know. I'm a MGTOW. I will not get married. We will not live together. Like, this is where the relationship goes. And if that's something you're okay with, then stick around. If not, then you can turn around and walk away right now. No questions asked. No grudges held, you know?
Mm.
I think that's important.
Yeah. It's just something, a light just came on. Because honestly, man, I don't even, like, what goes on with, unless one of their male allies comes in and starts, or one of the barges into my sphere, I can't even really be bothered. I mean, I still will date from time to time, but it's not something that I go out looking for. So, I mean, I have no idea how much of the concepts of the manosphere have seeped into the opposite sex. Like, how much does the opposite sex actually know about the manosphere at this point? Like, do you have any clue on that?
Be surprised. There was a woman that before this whole outbreak thing happened, we would go out to breakfast pretty regularly. And she, when we started dating, she would ask me like a couple of questions about it. So like, what's this MGTOW thing? And I explained it to her and she was like, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Is like, if I was you, I wouldn't get married either. That's insane. You know, I mean, when you look at it from the way, from, you know, when you look at it from that point of view, she's like, I fully understand, you know. And a lot of women that I've dated that have, you know, broached this topic have said the same thing. Like, yeah, I understand. You know, so some of them get a little upset. A lot of them get, you know, they get kind of defensive. Well, they are you talking about me? Are you talking about me? It's like, no, I don't know you. You know, I'm just talking about, like, in general. And a lot of them will do that whole, well, I'm not like that. Well, I'm not.
Well,
like,
I mean,
that.
that's what men will do with feminists too. I'm not like that. I mean, I don't even justify when feminists go into that spiel. It's sort of like, yeah, well, okay, you have an issue with that guy. Go deal with that guy. That guy wasn't me. And you're not going to lay that on me. And so, I mean, right. I try to keep that perspective with women. I honestly, long term, it doesn't look good for the female gender, especially if they come up with artificial wombs. And the love, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't own a waifu, and I'm not interested in owning a waifu. But if the waifus, if the technology for waifus keeps getting better, you know, I mean, yeah, they can put restrictions on sales and that sort of thing, but, you know, the male human is the most adaptive, most inventive species that's ever lived on the lived, as far as we know, in the universe, right? There will be ways of getting around that. I mean, long term, if some type of reform doesn't happen, like, I could see potential. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not misogynist or anything like that. But I mean, it's, you know, the usefulness of women might be coming to an end in the long term if they don't start, if the gender dynamic does not, if, especially if men are not allowed to redefine their roles in society as more than just simply plow horses.
I like to use the analogy of like a loaded gun. Like, women are like loaded guns. Loaded guns sometimes are a great thing to have around. Sometimes they're, well, and, you know, sometimes they're a great thing to have, you know. But you don't take a loaded gun and hold it up to your head and pull the trigger to check to see if it's going to shoot. You know, it's the same principle applies with dating. It's like, I'm not going to let you into my life and give you all the tools to destroy me so I can find out whether or not you will or not. That's like, I don't, whether or not you will is besides the point. I'm not going to give you the tools to do it. You know, that sort of thing. And I'm fully aware that most women aren't like that.
Oh, most of them aren't. Women aren't the enemy. It's just that the way the current rules and the laws are dictated, you have to treat any woman that you come across
as a loaded gun.
As a loaded gun, where you don't even necessarily even know where the trigger is.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, you know, when you're talking about half of my life, when you're talking about cashing in my 401k to pay in legal fees, you know, it's just not a risk I'm willing to take. You know, if not just for me, it's because I also have a son. Like, I would like to leave him something when I die.
You know, oh, yeah. Speaking of your son.
She divorces me and takes everything. It's like, she's not just robbing me. She's robbing my son.
Yeah. Speaking of your son, have you, and this is something else that's come up a couple, it's coming up more now because of female teachers sleeping with their students. But I mean, have you been paying more attention to what kind of input specifically female teachers have been putting into the heads, ideas that they've been putting into the heads of your son? Because, I mean, this is something that Coach Redpill talked about. It's like, you know, my daughter's going to be okay with the current education, but with my son, I'm going to have to, like, you know, monitor, especially the female teachers. Not just not to make sure that they're not only sexual predators, but to make sure that they're not trying to indoctrinate my son into feminism.
Absolutely. I've actually, my son's 13, so he's pretty wise to some of this stuff. I mean, he's on the internet. He sends me some pretty messed up memes. But I've told him on numerous times to look out. There are certain words that you need to look out for. And, you know, tolerance, diversity, you know, anything to do with
toxic masculinity.
I'm like, if you hear these words, you need to know that you are no longer being educated. You're being indoctrinated. Don't fall for it. And he knows, like, he's actually kind of backed me into a corner and asked me what MGTOW was when he was like 11. And I was like, you're a little too young for that. You know, we'll wait a few years and then we'll talk about that. And he was like, well, either you tell me now or I Google it later. And I tell people all the time, Googling MGTOW is the worst way to find out what MGTOW is.
Because you're absolutely gonna
get the loudest and the most extreme of the bunch. So
I've done a teardown of the Wikipedia MGTOW page. It's sitting on my hard drive right now waiting to be, I haven't edited it yet, but I mean, it's sitting on my hard drive waiting to be be edited and posted.
The Wikipedia page is hilarious.
Oh, the Wikipedia page. I mean, the Wikipedia page, they have, And this guy is from my hometown, by the way. They've got the guy who did the Vice article in there as a reference. They've got David Futrell in there as a reference. They've got multiple feminists on there as a reference. The only pro-MGTOW source they've got on there is the author of Men on Strike by Helen Smith. Like, it's sort of like, well, what good is it going to get information on MGTOW? What, I mean, when you don't even have a single MGTOW reference on the Wikipedia page, you know, except for Helen Smith's Men on Strike, which, by the way, have you ever read that book, by the way?
I have not.
Oh, well, it, for someone like you, it might not be as much of an eye-opener. It was a, like, I mean, my introduction to the Manosphere, and I will get, I will, was, is that I was an atheist, and still am an atheist. And there was a guy that I used to listen to on YouTube all the time called The Amazing Atheist, otherwise known as TJ Kirk. And then TJ Kirk did this video on a group. He's like saying, he did a couple of videos where he was really critical about this group called Atheism Plus.
Yep, I know who it is. Is that Steve Shives?
Steve Shives and those guys. And it was sort of like, well, and they were talking about social activism. And when you talk about social activism, this is like 2012, 2013. You're talking about that. You're talking about separation of church and state and that sort of thing. And what happened as 2013 went along, what I was noticing on the atheist groups, not just on the chat sites, but on Facebook and all of the atheist groups are suddenly being flooded with these atheists who were like literally yelling and screaming at anybody who disagreed with them. And they're more or less basically demanding that everybody at atheism base take a knee to social justice and feminism. And there was this pushback because it's sort of like, wait a second. So if it comes from a religious figure, or if it comes from a politician, or if it comes from a corporate head, we're allowed to take out the scalpels and tear it apart. But if it comes from a feminist, we're just supposed to accept it piecemeal without any question. And it's sort of like a faction inside atheism that just went like, no freaking way. And there was like a massive amount of pushback on it. And that's where it got started. What I had to do is I had a couple of men's groups that I was involved in. I had to keep going over to the men's groups to like look for information how to deal with this group, these guys in atheism, which, by the way, are a small nub of what they used to be. They dominate the atheist conventions, and that's about it. But I mean, as I was going through, I ran into Protection for Men was the big one back then. And I started looking up books, and there's this guy named R.K. Hendrick who came up. Actually, I'm actually looking at it right now because it's sitting on my coffee table. It's called How to Avoid Getting Screwed When Getting Laid by R.K. Hendrick Esquire, which is a book that I recommend any guy in the Manosphere get because it tells you how to protect yourself legally. And then like right next to it was Helen Smith's Men on Strike, and even the brief description of it. You know, sort of like, oh, that looks interesting. So I got the book and I read it through, and it was like, that's me. So I'm not the only one. So because at that point, this is like 2013, I was still feeling I was like somehow deficient because I hadn't gotten married and had kids. And then lo and behold, I discovered that I'm not the only one who's like that. And that's when I started going down the rabbit hole with MGTOW, and I realized that there was that whole situation going on. And yeah, you know, it was a relief to know that I wasn't the only person out there who thought the whole marriage was just basically a trap. Cause like, I mean, this is something that I discuss with other men in my life about not even necessarily MGTOW, but about marriage and gender relations. And it's sort of like, and I pointed this out to a group of guys at a table. You all, every single one of you, has a brother, a friend, a classmate, a relative of some kind, or either an association or a relative or coworker, whatever, that is getting screwed over by the system, and you haven't put two and two together and realized that. I mean, if it's this widespread that everybody knows somebody, like at minimum, one step or two steps away, that there's not a problem with the way the laws and the mores are currently stacked against men. You're going to come here and sit there with a straight face and tell me that there's not a problem?
There's always going to be people with that "it can't happen to me" mentality.
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah, I encounter addicts like that all the time. Yeah, you know, because I'm in a 12-step program, and I encounter addicts, and you know, in the ends for all addicts are basically just jails, institutions, or death, right? And I see people come into the program, and we have to go. We said in the readings, there's like the term jails, institutions, and death is read in one of it. It's part of one of the readings, but it's said at every single meeting, right? And they either romanticize their using to the point where they go back out, or they just don't think it's going to happen to them until it actually happens to them. Right. And I'm like, yeah, what can you do? You could be the message for the people immediately around you. And that's basically it. I mean, I guess you're probably like me. You're not so much evangelical about MGTOW. It's just sort of like, it's just something that you happen to be. And you just let people immediately around usually know what I do anyway, because I tell them. But, you know, like, yeah, you're not one of those people that's going around talking about MGTOW at the gym or at work to every person that'll listen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
MGTOW's a part of who I am. It's not who I am. I say that a lot.
So yeah, this has been really interesting. If you want to do another one, please let me know. I try to keep these interviews short. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other content. If you want to actually come on to the Red Pill Nation Hangout and sit in the chair every once in a while, then just let me know, because we do it every Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be cool. I work nights, so I would normally be working right now. It's 1:55 in the morning where I'm at. I live in Maine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're 2 hours ahead of me. Okay, yeah. Well, let me know if you want to come back on again. This has been really interesting. I mean, we just barely scratched the surface here. You know.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anytime. I'll come back.
All right. So yeah, thanks a lot, Jeff, for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you back on again at some point soon. Have a nice night.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
Yep, will do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.